Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
It is Chad Benson in for Greg Corumbus. We'll be back on Monday. Jim Garrity is here, and Three Martini Lunch brought to you today by ZipRecruiter. Like that. Jim, we jump right into it as we do. The good martini we will start with today, and that is news that, it goes down smooth, if you will. And that is, of course, the fact that we seem to be doing okay economically as far as the growth comparatively to the last regime that was in power.
Yeah. New numbers, economic numbers out today saying that real gross domestic product, GDP, increased at a rate of 3% in the third quarter. What's really nice is this comes after a second quarter, which we increased by 3.1%. There's a long stretch. This is the first time, I believe, in the past 3 years we've had two consecutive quarters of 3% growth. Now, what does this mean for folks? It means that this is now the point where economic growth, you can kind of start to feel it at 3%. We've been kind of bouncing along at 1%, 2% annually for the past couple of years. We've had individual quarters that have been pretty good, but then usually we stumble and go right back to 1% or 2%. So this is a nice turn of events. Now, I mentioned this earlier on Twitter, and everybody's like, well, it doesn't mean it's Trump's, Trump's gets credit for it. Look, we can argue about whether the president's been in office enough to have enact significant economic policy changes and whether that's the case. The president always gets probably a little more credit than he deserves for the good times and probably a little more blame than he deserves for the bad times. But either way, I'm sure conservatives and Republicans will be feeling pretty good about this. And really, everybody in the country should be feeling pretty good about nice economic growth numbers.
And, Jim, one of the things that and I always look at consumer confidence. I was in the brokerage industry for a long time, and I always look at consumer confidence, and consumer confidence is high. In fact, Pew Research is brand new last night that people are looking forward to the holidays, going to spend a little bit more money. And when I see 3% and knowing we went through the kind of craziness in Florida and the South with all of the hurricanes, to me, it says, hey, this could have been even better. And people thought this was going to be down. So I think the confidence side of thing, I think Trump adds some of that to a lot of people out there who think things are going to change.
Yeah. And if you want to say this is by the transitive property, I mean, we've seen Wall Street and the most of the financial markets take off for a good chunk of the past year. Dow keeps hitting new highs. My theory is that people look, the people who have 401ks, the people who have retirement accounts and are getting those quarterly statements, they look at it and they feel a little bit better. Oh, okay. I had a really good quarter. Maybe I will be able to afford to retire someday. And that probably makes them feel a little bit better about making a big expenditure or something like that. I don't have the numbers directly in front of me to prove that, but that's my theory, and I'm going to stick to it.
Well, do it, Jim. Do it. Stick to it. Chad Benson in for Greg Corumbus today. He's back again on Monday here on the Three Martini Lunch. Bad martini. Is there a bad martini? I don't know if there is, but this is interesting, and it's about school choice. Libertarian Megan McArdle says that expanding school choice has only generated some minor improvements. I'm all for more choice. I think choice is better. But for a lot of people out there, Jim, especially a lot of the unions and whatnot, they're not about choice at all. And look, any improvement's better than no improvement, right?
It is. And you don't want to overstate how, the grimness of this. But it is also worthwhile to be realistic. Megan McArdle writes for Bloomberg View. She's a pretty consistently libertarian analyst of public policy. And she writes, and she's not saying, they're terrible and bad and we should undo it. But she says we should be realistic. They basically, the school choice movement really started rocking and rolling back in the late 90s. We've had about 20 years of gradual expansion of this in a lot of states. And, her assessment is, quote, some studies suggest the voucher programs do modest good. Others suggest that they do very little. And a few suggest the impacts are actually negative. My overall takeaway from the literature is that voucher programs probably do a little bit of good. But the emphasis is on the word little. They are not a cure-all or even much of a cure for anything. It was reasonable to think in 1997 that voucher programs could change the world. Now we have two decades of evidence. And she walks through different reasons about why this has been the case. I mean, in the end, there are certain parents who are not interested in school choice. There are certain parents whose criteria for picking a good school for their kids may just not be the right criteria. I think that she talks about the importance of peer perspective of what a good school is. I still think as a matter of principle, it is good to give parents the maximum options as possible for the education of their children. But it is worth, you know, having a little bit of realism and recognizing that if we're looking to try to create the very best education system for our kids, then school choice alone probably isn't going to do it. But then again, you know, those of us who've been pushing for school choice for so long, it's a grim day whenever we have to acknowledge that.
I'm about school choice. I have a 7-year old. He's in a better school because of that, and he does really well. But I've always said education begins at home. You could go to a school that's not quote unquote great, but you can get still a great education as long as your parents are participating in that. And I think we always miss that, and we can't ever talk about that because, you know, it's always negative. You know that, Jim, because then people are like, "Whoa, wait a minute here. You can't say anything bad about parents."
I was just about to say that you could have the very best education policy in the world, but if you don't have an involved parent, that kid is still going to have a major, major headwind to overcome. So,
Absolutely.
You know what? Maybe we should hire some more teachers. That sounds like a good – if only there was some good job site for hiring people. Right, Chad?
I believe there is a great site for hiring people, not just a good site, a great site, and that is ZipRecruiter. And if you're looking for talent for your business, let me tell you something. ZipRecruiter is the place to go. They've got smarter, better tools and a better way for you to hire. And it's all about the way they use their technology, Jim.
I was going to say, with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to more than 100 of the web's leading job boards with just one click. So you can rest easy knowing that your job is being seen by all the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work, actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within minutes of posting so that you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different, because unlike other job hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on the right candidates finding you. It finds them. You can even get a head start in the interview process by adding screening questions to the job post to help identify the most qualified candidates, so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit.
No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate through the site in just one day, and it's easy to use. ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish all in one place. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
You know, I was going to say, if we're hiring, say, a new president, you know, either 2020, 2024, let's say Trump serves two terms, no doubt we'll have no shortage of applicants, but... I think our crazy martini is a good choice, because I don't know about you, Chad, but do we feel like when people say, "Oh, we need a new president," do you think they're automatically thinking of, say, a completely different billionaire who's got a reality show?
No, Mark Cuban, you know, he is flirted around with this, and he's very much an outspoken critic of the president, and I think, quite frankly, the president has opened the eyes to a lot of people who said, "Well, wait a minute, if he can do it, I can do it." And yeah, crazy indeed when it comes to somebody like Cuban and thinking about running for president. But, you know, you look and you see President Trump do it, and you're thinking to yourself, "I got a lot of money. I got a lot of fame. Why not me?"
Yeah, that was very much my take when I wrote my Morning Jolt newsletter today, that, like, I don't want every celebrity and every billionaire looking in the mirror and seeing a potential president staring back at them. There's also the idea that most of these celebrities, you heard a little bit of discussion about Oprah possibly running for president someday or something like that. Look, for every billionaire and every celebrity out there who's thinking about running, getting involved in politics, we do have jobs in government beyond the presidency. We have, in fact, you could, as I put it this morning, we have 50 little mini presidencies where you get your own mansion and motorcade and security detail. And the job is very much like being a president in that you're trying to put together a coalition to pass legislation. You get to issue executive orders. You get to nominate judges in most of these states. They're called governorships. Or if that's not your taste, you can try running for the Senate. Or let me put out a really crazy idea. If you really want to make a difference in the world, maybe you should run for local board of education or your local school or your local town council or city council. We need good reformers and good folks with the right values and right ideas at all levels of government. What we don't need, and I think, you know, look, well, different people will have different assessments of Trump, but I think it's safe to say that knowing more about how the federal government works and how it doesn't work can do a president a lot of good. And so we have this idea of, you know, here's another businessman who says, I know how to make really great deals. I'm going to be able to go into Washington and make these great deals happen. And I don't think it's quite so simple. And I hope the American public did not say, The problem is not that we have a celebrity who has no experience in government. The problem is we have the wrong celebrity who had no experience in government, and we go through this all over again.
I think somebody like Mark Cuban looks at it, Jim, and says to himself, I'm not as divisive. I'm successful. I'm probably more popular amongst many people out there who are run-of-the-mill kind of ill-informed voters who only seem to care every 4 years. They know who I am. They watch Shark Tank. And because of that, I'll be more popular. And in some ways, he's thinking it's kind of a popularity contest. And I wouldn't put it past him running. He's got the money. He's got the clout as far as, you know, being able to reach a number of people. He's got the success. So I wouldn't put it past him running. But I think he thinks to himself, I'm not as divided. And as we all know, you get into that position where you find out, well, when it comes voting time, people are going to divide you whether you think you're not as divisive as the last guy.
I was going to say, ask Kid Rock, right? Who, you know, earlier this week announced he was not interested in running for the Michigan Senate seat, and who kind of acted like he acted like he had never been interested. Quite a few folks said, no, that's not the case. But look, you build your stature, your name recognition, and a certain amount of your fan base outside of politics.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And Kid Rock said this week, he was on a Stern, and he said, you know, hey, this was just a big ploy, and I was having fun. I got an album release. I can't believe people read into it. But it is about the brand, I think, for a lot of people.
Once you get into politics, you will be divisive, because politics is inherently divisive. So anyway, that's the case. Look, maybe somebody can stop, like the NBA commissioner.
He was divisive, and you know what? He probably loves not being commissioner anymore, because he can be divisive, but nobody really gets mad at him because the power's not there. Goodell eventually walk away from the NFL with a smile on his face because, A, he'll have a lot of money, and B, it doesn't matter anymore because none of that other stuff, it all goes away. People like you. I mean, look at Bush right now. The resurgence of him and his popularity. Why? Because you're not part of it anymore, so people can go, oh, you're not such a bad guy.
Exactly. Lo and behold, you know, as Hillary Clinton had lovely numbers as Secretary of State, and then she started running for office, and everybody remembered why they didn't like her. So that is the lesson. There is no such thing as a happy apolitical figure who will come in and unite the country. So don't even bother, Mr. Cuban. Stay happy, yelling at refs and hearing ideas on Shark Tank.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that's it, right? That's three martinis down.
It is. Wow. And Chad, I want to thank you for sitting in. Greg will be back Monday. We want to thank the good folks at ZipRecruiter, and thank you for listening to today's Three Martini Lunch.